Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm Chris Towers. Heath, yeah. You seem to enjoy that intro.
I love.
Welcome.
Love. You're like, come on in. I feel like you're going to tell people that we're getting ready to paint some happy little trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With your opening,
Bob Rossum. That was my NPR. You know,
sorry that I wasn't here on Monday.
Towers.
We are funded by a generous grant from the Heath Cummings Foundation.
I apologize
and
for
listeners
not being
like
here
you.
And telling you guys where I was going to be Monday, but I'm glad you're still letting me start on Wednesday.
Yeah, thanks. Joe.
Hey.
Joe Polito, how's it going?
Good. I'm on the other side of the podcast right now. Heath's in my usual spot.
Oh, really?
It feels a little weird. It's probably his usual spot more often. But...
Actually, Chris is where I usually sit.
We are all different hats
today. We're going to talk. Heath is here, so obviously we're going to talk some DFS. Yep. We're going to
best DFS slate ever for this podcast.
I don't understand.
You'll find out.
Oh, because of Andrew Wiggins.
Not just Wiggins.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, do you remember what happened last time, Joe?
Sure.
Indeed.
Yes.
You backed out of your Wiggins.
He had 42 points and what, 45 fantasy points?
Right.
Keep it up. He's playing tonight. I want to play him.
He did two other things other than score.
We're also going to talk about, he had 41 and 47, by the way. Mm. We're going to talk about some positional specialists. We're going to talk about some buy low candidates, some sell high candidates. But first, the big news. Derrick Rose left his team and now he's back. This was bigger news about 48 hours ago, but I think it's still a fascinating situation. What do you guys make of what's going on in New York with Derrick Rose?
First of all, anytime you say fascinating, I think there's like a hint of condescension there.
Why?
Just like, oh, I find this fascinating. It's like you clearly have some very pointed opinions about it, but fascinating is just the placeholder.
I think it's fascinating. I'd love to hear your guys' opinions on what this potentially means for Derrick Rose.
I think when you flee the state and then you contemplate quitting basketball and then you want a max contract like the next day, I think it's a pretty confusing time.
I'm just mad you didn't fake laugh at my joke at the beginning of the podcast acting like I was Derrick Rose.
I wasn't. Honestly?
Yeah.
I wasn't listening.
That doesn't
like, I know you said something.
Yeah.
But
it's too late now. Anyway, this is like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
The whole thing's a train wreck.
It's not quite surprising, right?
No. Not at all.
What?
No.
It's certainly not something Derrick Rose has ever done before. Like the fact that like the Knicks have turned into a train wreck. Sure,
yeah, no, that's the surprising. More expected part.
But specifically, Derrick Rose getting benched and then leaving the team, not telling anybody—that was surprising. That was weird.
I don't know, man.
Like if we'd have made a list of people making over $10 million that pulled this, Rose would have been in the first four or five guesses.
Yeah, probably.
So
yeah, that's
and the Knicks thing too. It's like you wouldn't if somebody on the Jazz does this, you're like, wow, that's crazy, or you know something like
right.
that. But
yeah.
If the Knicks like just another day in Knicks land.
I was kind of surprised that they said he was going to start on Wednesday, but then it's the Knicks.
He is starting on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the like. There have to be some implications for this in the future. I don't know if that means like Derrick Rose continues to lose minutes, which they've said would be the case. I believe he played 24 minutes in their last game, did not play in the fourth quarter at all. They were playing undrafted free agent rookie Ron Baker.
Hey, he had effort in the fourth quarter.
He certainly has effort. It's not a fit. Like Derrick Rose, the starting lineup doesn't make sense really. Like this is a team that either needs a shooter at point guard or a distributor, and Derrick Rose isn't either of those, even when he's playing well. So what do you think the chances are that he finishes the season with the New York Knicks?
He will be on their payroll, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds right. I don't see how they would trade him.
Who's going to
exactly.
Him?
No idea.
Attach your first to him. You can trade anything.
Especially after this.
Contract.
The Knicks have firsts to give away?
Probably not.
Not in the grand scheme.
2020s.
Yeah.
So Derrick Rose has been a useful fantasy option. I would assume he will continue to be. But right now, if you have Derrick Rose on your team, I guess the good news is you probably acquired him very cheap or very late in your draft. But it's his role moving forward is very much up in the air. I would say there's a chance he doesn't average 30 minutes moving forward. I would
guess take the under.
And if he's not getting a lot of opportunities, there's not a ton of value there. The other big news that we want to get to, Ben Simmons finally took part in some five-on-nothing drills. He was...
Sixers still lost.
I was going to say he couldn't make any shots.
Reportedly playing at around 80% in those drills. That's a good sign for Ben Simmons as he works his way back from a foot injury. That is, for instance, probably more than Joel Embiid did during his years off. It's probably more than Nerlens Noel did as well. It is a good sign that they do expect Ben Simmons back, and I think at this point that seems pretty clear. Ben Simmons, nearly universally owned. You're definitely waiting on Ben Simmons still, right?
I mean, if you stashed him this long, you have to, but you also have to wonder, like, there's so many things going on beneath the small forward position in Philly, and this is going to be yet another prized draft pick entering the fray. Is it just going to be where, like, every single person gets 21 minutes a game? That would be no fun.
Yeah, he didn't take contact, so it's still safe to say he's a ways off. I would be surprised if we see him before the All-Star break, and at that point, you know, you are waiting on something that might not happen.
Yeah, right? I mean, maybe the hope is come fantasy playoff time, like all of a sudden he's just like full strength, or they trade someone, or there's another injury, and it's just like you get a nice little quick sample of what he could be, but I don't think anything soon would be realistic.
All right, let's talk about some... Heath, did you have anything to say about Ben Simmons? No? All right.
No, not really. That.
Trust the process.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some positional and roto specialists. These are guys who picked a couple guys at every position, except for power forward. I couldn't find multiple ones there. It's kind of a boring position. But guys who right now are available in fantasy leagues right now who can help you out in specific positions. First off, at point guard, Langston Galloway has 75 three-pointers on the season. He's averaging 2 per game over the last 5, so he's not really slowing down. He has more three-pointers than Chris Paul, Mike Conley, and D'Angelo Russell. The one question with Langston Galloway, he's available pretty much everywhere, is does he start losing minutes to Buddy Hield, Tyreek Evans, Drew Holiday, especially as the latter two start to see their minutes rise?
I mean, if, you know, Heath's a big Buddy Hield fan, so he's probably going to land on that side of the fence. But Galloway's kind of a, you know what you're going to get from him, and that team needs stability probably more than anything if they're going to be, like, you know, in the discussion for the 8 seed kind of thing.
My you're right on me.
Go on.
But my, like, first off, the odds of Drew Holiday and Tyreek Evans both increasing their minutes and both staying healthy seem pretty low.
Sure.
One of them is probably going to get hurt.
Probably.
But I think what they would prefer is that Langston Galloway loses minutes and Buddy Hield deserves to keep the minutes.
Sure.
That's what they're going to try to do. Now, if Hield goes back to struggling again like he did the first month, then sure, Galloway's probably fine.
But Galloway has not been losing much minutes to Hield lately. And Hield's been playing more.
Right.
It's been more Tim Frazier. It's been more...
Well, Frazier's out of the rotation.
Yeah, Frazier's out of the rotation. So, you know, they're...
I think as a specialist, like you said, just a baseline of 1-3, maybe upwards of 3-3s. Like, they need him basically to do that because, you know, other than Hield, he's like the only one taking 3s probably, so...
Another specialist at the point guard position, TJ McConnell. 7 assists per game over the last 10. Sergio Rodriguez returned from his ankle injury but did not start. McConnell still played 30-plus minutes in their most recent game. It's probably not going to last. At some point, I would guess Sergio Rodriguez gets the starting job back. But, you know, they're both kind of the same guy. Whichever one's getting the majority of the minutes, that's the guy that you want in fantasy. But, you know, one of Sergio Rodriguez or TJ McConnell will probably be owned in most fantasy leagues moving forward. Do you know Thabo Sefolosha leads all shooting guards in steals per game with 1.83?
I did not know, but...
really good in fantasy this year.
It is believable.
It is believable.
He's having a really nice season, someone who's available out there. CJ Miles, actually, among all players, averaging at least 10 points per game, he has the lowest turnovers per game. Turnovers are a bad category And if you play fantasy basketball, you should not play with turnovers.
How is he an assist to turnover? Because he doesn't really do anything besides catch the ball and shoot.
He passes the ball at the hoop.
But it still
doesn't count as a turnover.
If you're able to get on the floor and contribute stats without turning the ball over, there's value in that in fantasy. You know, there, especially if you've got someone like James Harden.
Yeah.
So, CJ Miles. Bojan Bogdanović, 1.8 three-pointers per game, 85.8% on free throws. Bohan's hilarious. I love watching him play because he just, like, he does one ridiculous thing every game. Like, he never dribbles with his left hand.
Right.
He takes, like, these ridiculous step-back three-pointers. He's just, he's delightful.
He can shoot it.
Yeah. He's like, you know, kind of a watered-down Rudy Fernandez reincarnate here, where Rudy was just like, all right, Rudy, let's slow down. But then, you know, he's still double figures every game.
I miss Rudy Fernandez.
Yeah, we need to get him back in the league.
And Al-Farouq Aminu, 1.1 steals per game, 2.3 assists per game. Problem there is he's having a disastrous season shooting the ball.
He's kind of starting to come out of it, though, isn't he? Like, over the last week or two, it seems like he's started to shoot the ball a little bit better, and he wasn't ever that bad of a shooter. Like, he's not a 34% field goal percentage
guy. Well, from
guy.
The field, yeah. I think the big thing, though, is last year he was like a 36% shooter, and he is shooting. He's 58% from the field over the last 12 points per game, 10 boards, 3.4 assists. So he is playing better lately. The problem is last year he was like a 36 or 37% shooter from three. This year he's still taking a bunch of threes. Almost right. Half of his shots are from three, but he's shooting 28%.
They'll start going in.
Maybe.
He has like the most arc on his shot, I think, in the league.
Yeah.
We were just talking about
this
today.
Up into the sky.
About the normalization of three-point rates.
Sure.
And like the fact that he's shooting 28% so far this year doesn't mean he's going to shoot 28%. He'll probably shoot what he normally is.
Which is 31%.
Maybe 35.
Larry Nance, someone that actually not helping you right now because he's working his way back from a knee injury, should be back in a week or two. 58% from the field, 1.2 steals per game. He is someone that, when he gets back, can definitely help you out.
Don't you just wish the Lakers were a barren wasteland of rookies and young dudes that just were great for fantasy?
Yeah, there's just too many guys.
That's what I mean. It's like, I really wish...
Like, get Lou Williams out of there.
Four or five. Yeah, all of them.
Get Luol Deng out of there. Like, get Nick Young out of there.
Exactly. We've seen these guys. We know their spiel. Lucas Nance dunk on people.
He loves dunking on people. Lucas Nogueira, he has been a fantasy specialist, really helpful this season, 65% from the field, 1.8 blocks per game. If you need those two categories, he can definitely help. He even starts sometimes for the Raptors when the matchup's right. I believe he started a game last week, so he'll get his minutes. And Alex Len, 1.5 blocks per game. He's someone who actually could have some upside down the stretch if the Suns either, you know, move away from Tyson Chandler, trade Tyson Chandler. He's someone that, you know, would make sense on a team like Portland, Tyson Chandler. I know
Absolutely.
He's a little older, but he's actually not playing that poorly. So, Alex Len, if you're looking for help now and in the future, definitely someone to have on your radar. Let's go to a couple of questions from listeners. At UtterChaos402, how do you view Derek Favors and Tyreke Evans for the remainder of the season? I think this is a tough one.
Yeah.
Like, Derek Favors is starting to play a little better lately, but the nature of his knee injury and the way they've talked about it, I'm not sure when he's going. Like, it was a fatigue type of issue. It's the type of issue, the way I understand it is, it was the type of issue that you see a lot in, like, long-distance runners.
Yeah.
Which isn't a great sign. I don't know if he's going to get back to 35 minutes per game.
I would like to own both of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they have a hot streak, I would like to trade both of these guys.
Because they're big names.
Yeah. And I like them both. I think they're both good players. But they're not going to last.
And Derek Favors is in a weird spot because the Jazz are rolling with him in this role, so it doesn't make a lot of sense to, like, what are you going to cut back on Rudy Gobert's role?
That's what I was going to say. I think Gobert's emergence as one of the best centers in the league has kind of forced their hand and say, like, all right, Derek, we don't really need you to do a lot of heavy lifting, like, which stinks because you drafted him probably at a steeper price.
I drafted a lot of Derek Favors.
Yeah, whereas Evans is a guy that probably got drafted on the lower ends because people knew, you know, he's always working his way back from injury or about to head into an injury.
Yep.
So I think you probably have better luck trading Evans just when he finally does surge, like Heath said, whereas Favors, there seems to be less hope for his upside now.
All right, and the second question, @_Mac123, trade question, Paul George and Reggie Jackson, is that too much to give up for Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns, in a 9-category league?
So he's getting Cat.
Yes.
I
don't think it's too much, do you?
Not the way, well, Reggie Jackson has been...
He's been doing a little better.
Playing but... a little better lately. I think the scoring is up, shooting better from the field. I think he's been about 18 points, 6 assists per game. Over the last month or so, actually 20.6.5 assists per game over the last 10, 25.6 over the last 5. So Reggie Jackson definitely playing better. I don't know if I would do that trade. It does feel like a little too much for me. You're giving up 2 surefire starters and one who's a, you know, not that far off from Karl-Anthony Towns. Maybe Karl-Anthony Towns is a...
It's more well-rounded.
An early first-rounder, and Paul George is maybe an early second or a late first, but I don't know if Reggie Jackson is worth that.
Reggie Jackson's definitely not. Yeah, I mean, the first question would be, was Joel Embiid not available? And that's obviously just a joke. The only way I can see doing it is if you don't need to start Reggie Jackson, and it's hard to imagine...
Yeah.
Having a roster where you don't need to start Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, like I've got rosters where like I have too many guards, but it's still like Reggie Jackson's good enough that you're almost certainly starting him.
But if you're going for a 2-for-1, like I kind of, especially in football, I'm usually trying to deal 2 guys to get 1 guy just to like consolidate depth. So maybe he, you know, drafted the hell out of this team and has some breakout guards and stuff, wants to get, you know, the perfect big man in Cat.
If you feel good about the bench player you're starting in Reggie Jackson's spot, then I'd probably do it.
Yeah, I'm looking at my trade values, which are going to go up on Wednesday.
Oh, well, this will decide it.
Yes.
It is a win for the Reggie Jackson, Paul George side. So
if you want to lose, according to Chris's scientific chart.
You guys want to do some trivia?
Yeah, I've got some trivia of my own.
Oh, you have some trivia? Well, let's start with yours.
It's non-basketball themed, though.
Okay.
It's the Bonnaroo lineup came out.
I love anybody who's listened to the podcast over the last couple of years knows I'm a big Bonnaroo fan. Joe's been. I'm a
been a couple times. Chris is like a
7-time
seasoned
vet.
I've never been.
You should go.
I'm more of a farm aid type of guy.
You want to come?
Go with Chris.
Tennessee.
No.
Oh, okay.
Middle of a giant
farm. I'm going
farm.
To Tennessee. When is it?
Real America.
When is it?
June 8th through the 11th.
Wow. I'm going to be in Tennessee in June.
You should go.
You should go.
It's pretty sweet. Manchester. Tickets are the low, low price of like $250.
Well, I'm already going to be there.
Yeah. You could just like hop a fence like the cool kids.
We'll just put you in our trunk.
There you go. He's portable. He's a portable 6'2 or something like that.
All right, Joe.
Anyways,
let's hear it.
The list of bands always comes out on this giant
right.
graphic that you guys have probably seen, and some of the names just are outrageous. So what we like to do on this podcast is group the names together and slip fake names into it.
Okay.
So you and Chris will be. Chris probably is going to have a little leg up on this.
I don't know. There's a lot of names I've never heard.
Well,
of
hopefully
that
you
lineup.
Don't remember
that.
I would say you've already studied the.
That's what I was going to say.
List.
He's already looked up the discography of each of the ones he didn't know.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a group of 4, and you have to tell me which is the fake Bonnaroo band.
Okay.
All right. Ready? Lily Feather, Twin Limb, Twiddle, and Goldfish.
I'm going to say Twiddle is fake.
I'm going to say Twiddle.
Twiddle is real.
Oh.
Lily Feather is fake.
Oh,
Twin
okay.
Limb and Goldfish.
Those
also.
Are all ridiculous.
Sorry if you're like in this band.
I'm sure your music's good.
If your music's good, you should find a name that's
playing at Bonnaroo. I mean, hey. Okay. Next batch of 4. The Front Bottoms.
I love the Front Bottoms.
Yes.
Mandolin Orange. Santa Pesto. Stick Figure.
I'm going to say Santa Pesto.
Mandolin Orange.
Santa Pesto is the fake
Mandolin
one.
Mandolin Orange, I've heard of.
You heard of him?
I think. I've seen
actually,
the name.
I Orange? Really love the Front Bottoms. It's a great band. I'm psyched to see them.
Are you?
Yeah.
Better or worse.
Not being ironic.
Better
okay.
or worse
great.
Than the Hotelier.
Oh, you would hate them. Yeah.
Okay.
It's similar.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Next group of 4. Ganja White Knight. Fat Lazarus. Big Jesus. Flatbush Zombie.
What was the third one?
Big Jesus.
I'm going to say Big Jesus.
Ganja White Ninja, Fat Lazarus, Big Jesus, Flatbush Zombie.
I'm going to go Big Jesus, too.
Big Jesus is real. They will be at Bonnaroo. Fat Lazarus is the fake one.
Fat really? Lazarus.
Although Fat Lazarus sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does sound like a really good name.
Okay, last group. Heath is winning 1-0, I believe.
Thank you.
I have gotten none.
I can't believe this. Snails. Nightly. Sloth. Coin. One of those is not real. The other three are.
Snails, Nightly,
Sloth, and Coin.
And Coin. Okay, I'm pretty certain that Sloth is a band.
I'm going to say Snails.
I'm going to go with Snails because then I can't lose.
Sloth is the fake one.
Perfect.
Snails, Nightly, and Coin. Although, fake, I'm sure there is a band called Sloth.
Right. So probably, I was just going with the band that
but
I
they are not playing at Bonnaroo.
Okay.
As far as I know, maybe Sloth is hidden in there, and I just didn't see it.
Let's do this.
Less important trivia.
This one is some of the we've seen a ton of big performances this season. We've seen a lot lately. James Harden had 40 points last night. Hassan Whiteside had a 20-20 game. So we're going to look at the leaders in big games. Okay, we're going to do it Fantasy Feud style. So.
But big games like points, rebounds.
Yeah, it's top five in 40-point games.
Monster stat lines.
Okay.
Most 40-point games, 15 rebound games, 15 assist games.
Okay.
Jeez.
There are six players who have had at least three 40-point games. Can you name one? Heath.
James Harden.
James Harden is fourth, tied for third with four 40-point games. Okay. Would you like to try to guess the rest or pass it on?
I will try to guess the rest.
Okay.
And then he has to steal it from me.
You get three strikes.
Okay. Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook is number one, obviously, with six. Yeah.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant does not have three plus.
Okay.
It's a 40-point game.
Interesting. One strike.
That was a bad, stupid guess.
One strike.
Andrew Wiggins.
Nope.
Does he only have two?
Only when Chris talks to smack about
I know
him.
He has
it's
going
to be three tonight.
Okay. It will be number three tonight.
Two strikes.
Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard is number six. Whew. He has three.
By the skin of your teeth.
Yes. Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis is number two. He had another 40-point game yesterday. Had first player, I believe, with 40-plus points, 15-plus boards in less than 30 minutes.
Ever?
I believe so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. He's good.
So I get one more strike. There's how many
one more
left
strike,
on the board?
And you have three... Two left. Yeah.
I know one.
Oh, no. If it's the pressure on.
Yeah.
There's actually one you should know, Heath.
Okay.
Well, if you were paying...
That was a pointed clue.
If you were paying attention last night.
Wow. Yeah, I clearly wasn't, although I did play DFS last night. So that's encouraging. I'll say Isaiah Thomas.
Nope.
Okay. Mm.
Joe, you want to steal?
DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan has three. You are missing the number three player who has four. Mm. Or he gets the steal, right?
Yeah, he won.
Okay, he won.
I win.
The last one, Jimmy Butler has four 40-point games this season.
That sounds right.
Most of them have come in the last month. He's been outstanding. Okay. Top five in 15 rebound games. There are five with at least 14 this season. Who wants to buzz in?
Heath knocked the table, I think.
We're going to give it to Joe because he made that weird noise.
I was going
to
say, I will, and then Heath.
Joe.
Hassan Whiteside.
Hassan Whiteside, number one with 18 20 rebound games, including last night.
20 rebound games or 15 rebound
15 rebound games, sorry.
Yeah, his Barbara Walters line, as he coined it. So clever, that Hassan.
Do you want to go for the win or pass?
I'll pass. See if he
thanks.
Knows.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, number two with 17.
DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan, number five with 14.
Karl Anthony Towns.
Karl Anthony Towns is not. He was number six, though.
Okay.
Isaiah Thomas.
That's not a bad guess, but I'm not going to go with
it. Pretty good.
It's not Joel Embiid either.
That's not how the game works.
That's who you would have to guess after Carl.
Well, that's not how the game works. Saying names that are not right.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you would like to guess, Joel Embiid.
Dwight Howard?
Dwight Howard, number four, yeah, has 16, he had 15
rebound games. He had a couple
20
rebound games to start the year, I think.
Dwight Howard's actually been sneaky really good lately because he's been shooting the free throw better, too.
The free throw.
So DeMarcus you've got Cousins? One left. No.
Nope.
Okay.
I think that's two strikes.
That is two strikes.
Two strikes.
You want to go ahead and say that you know who the last one is?
Not sure that I do.
Okay.
It's a pretty obvious one.
I will say...
Oh, maybe I do know. I don't know if you've already said it. Sorry. Yeah.
I have no idea who it is, so I'm just going to throw a name out there and say that it's Kristaps.
It is not Kristaps. Joe, can you
see... Did he say Drummond?
He did not say Drummond. That was dumb. Drummond is the answer. Woo! Number three with 16. 15 rebound games. He's actually taken a bit of a step back.
I was
going to
say, what do you think of Drummond this year? He's been a little disappointing, right?
He's definitely been disappointing. I think he's been a little disappointing for each of the last 2 years, and I think at this point, we're 4.5 seasons into his career, I think it's kind of... It's not necessarily time to stop talking about potential with him because he's still only 23, but...
It's good at steals.
The Dwight Howard jump probably isn't going to happen at this point, right?
No, I think the game has more so changed. I think that might be more of the problem. Like, I don't think Dwight has abundantly
just,
more offensive game than
he's just
Drummond,
not as efficient. You know, that was the big thing is Dwight Howard would score 25 points on 12 shots. And
it's true. His shots looked terrible, but they were pretty consistent.
So that's your big rebounding. And let's do the assists. This is a... Let's go through this one quick. Top five in 15 assist games. There are five players who have done it twice this season.
That's not many times. I'll try.
Okay, Joe.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul has done it three times. That's all. CP. Only three times. He's missed some time, but
he almost had 20 assists tonight.
You gonna go for the win or
I'll
pass
go for
it?
It.
All right,
yeah.
Let's hear it.
James Harden.
James Harden leads the NBA with 9 15 assist games.
Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook is second with 7.
Gets a little harder. John Wall.
John Wall is third with 5.
How many do I need?
You need one more. He has 2 15 assist games, and this one is stunning. He's averaging 10 assists per game over the last month. We're about to talk about him.
Give him as many clues as you can. What team does he play for?
He plays in the NBA.
This one is stunning.
Stunning.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If it's stunning, then it's not like Isaiah Thomas.
It's not Isaiah Thomas. Strike
right.
One.
Let's go with Draymond Green.
It's not Draymond Green. Strike two.
15 assist games.
That's a lot.
That is a lot of assists. Who's getting that many assists? Or who shouldn't be? I guess is what I should be asking.
There's lots of people that shouldn't be.
Right. Kyle Lowry?
Not Kyle Lowry. Heath, can you steal?
Oh, I don't think so at all.
Okay.
but I will I'll try to think of somebody that it might be.
We're about to talk about this player.
Okay. So if I should look at the rundown is what
you're
talking
about? Yeah, but just don't. I mean, you've already lost, so if you want to look at the rundown.
What do you mean? I haven't guessed yet.
It's 2-1. It's 2-0. Even if you win, it's 2-1.
Is it Rondo?
I don't have any idea, so I'm going to say Malcolm Brogdon.
It's not Malcolm Brogdon.
Okay.
It is our number one sell-high candidate over the last month, Jeff Teague. Did you realize Jeff Teague is averaging 17 points, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds per game over the last month?
I knew he's been balling, but I didn't know he got that many assists twice.
The change, moving Monte Ellis out of the starting lineup, getting more shooting out there with Glenn Robinson III, has really helped out Jeff Teague's game. The Pacers are still kind of middling, but they've at least discovered an identity, and it's largely built around Jeff Teague's playmaking. He is the number 29 player in Roto over the last month. Would you sell high on Jeff Teague?
I don't think I would. I mean, I have him actually in the 30 deep, and he's a big contributor to my success in that league. But yeah, I think we've known that Teague was maybe a little underappreciated, especially in fantasy. He kind of just is very solid, and the high upside point guards don't do that much better than him. So I want to say I'm buying into this a little bit.
What about Ricky Rubio, the number 39 player in Roto over the last month? The assists are starting to climb back up. That's the big thing for him because early in the season, he was like a 6-assist-per-game guy, and the steals were down. He just wasn't playing that well overall. But over the last month, only 8 points per game. The shooting percentage is still bad. But 9 assists per game, 4 boards, 2.4 steals. Is Ricky Rubio a sell-high candidate?
I think if you can target a team that maybe is borderline on assists, maybe steals, like just kind of look at the scoreboards of your other opponents. And, yeah, I think he might be because he's just gotten to the baseline where you wanted him to be.
Yeah.
But, like, do we think Ricky Rubio's assists are going to disappear? Like, what's he doing now that he's not going to keep doing?
Well, I think they're running their offense a little differently. They're running a little bit more of it through him. They're letting him run the pick and rolls.
Yeah, if they go back to LaVine hero ball for most of the game.
Yeah, or running more of the offense through the big men, which is something that they were doing earlier in the season as well. Or just Rubio still a trade candidate.
Yeah.
So there is some risk there in him, but he's been very good lately. Joe, what about Tyler Johnson?
TJ.
Over the last month.
He's legit.
15 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, and a block and a steal per game. I think he had like 3 blocks yesterday, right?
Yeah, and the Heat's so bad that he's all motor. He's athletic. Yeah. They trust him. So he's just always going to find a way to show up on the stat sheet. Like I've been saying it. I think he's the best player on the team. Like, it's crazy to say, but he is just literally all over the place. In crunch time, he's like the one they go to.
That contract doesn't look that bad right now.
No, it just seems crazy when you look at him because he looks like a 14-year-old missing the front tooth. And
he's playing like small forward for stretches too. It's really strange.
He's like point guard / help defense.
So you wouldn't sell high on him
in fantasy? You know, maybe you do just because the Heat are. They're sort of getting their guys back, but I don't know. Like I think it's just as likely that it flips the other way and his value goes up because they sell one of their big pieces and they expect him to do even more. And like I said, even when they're not expecting him to do a whole lot, he still does. I think that's a valuable piece in fantasy.
And we touched on this team or this player's team earlier. What about Julius Randle? He's never been much of a Roto contributor. His head-to-head value's been fine because he's a good rebounder, but he's finally starting to provide some Roto value. He's been a seventh-round value over the last month. 15 points, 8 boards, 4.5 assists, 1 steal per game. What do we make of the way Julius Randle's playing right now? And do we think this is sustainable on that team with all the options that they have?
I think the difference is that because this is his second year in the league.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he's starting to do more things may just mean that he's developing a little bit as a player.
Yeah.
And I don't think when he first came out, he profiled as a guy that's a pretty complete player.
Yeah, at least offensively for a big man.
Right. So I kind of believe it.
Yeah, I think he's the kind of guy that his team is better this year. I mean, the Lakers aren't good, but they're not just like totally barren. I think surrounding him with guys who kind of know what they're doing, like, lets his passing ability develop a little bit too. And, you know, not having, I mean, D'Angelo Russell's a point guard, but
yeah, D'Angelo Russell, like,
Randle gets to handle a lot.
It is kind of, you know, before the season, I kind of compared it to the Warriors.
Yeah.
You know, with Luke Walton. And Julius Randle is kind of filling a Draymond Green-esque role on offense. Like, you know, D'Angelo Russell's kind of like the C-plus version of Steph Curry, and Julius Randle's kind of like a C-plus version of Draymond Green.
I think you're seeing it across the league with, like,
yeah,
you know, kind of power forwards who can handle. Griffin almost started it a little bit.
But
even more, like, kind of does a little bit of everything, more so than just, like, the passing or the dribbling. Like, he's just kind of like a cog in the middle of the offense.
Yeah, we've seen point forwards before, you know, Scottie Pippen or LeBron James, but I think this is a different type of player.
Yeah, this is more like operate from the elbow and that kind of thing.
Yeah, or like, you know, with teams trapping more on the pick and roll, there's more opportunities for big men who can create without necessarily, like, Julius Randle will bring the ball up the floor when he grabs a rebound or on the fast break, but they're not like, it's not like what Ben Simmons is expected.
And he's not like holding up his hand calling plays.
The concern with Randle was that Ingram would be good and he'd make it squeezed out with Deng and Ingram, and Deng and Ingram are both awful.
Yeah, they've actually played better lately. Brandon Ingram over the last four games, averaging 14 points, 4.3 boards, 2.3 assists. They are actually having Brandon Ingram play point guard. Like, that is, he is their backup point guard. And it, you know, it's a little like when the Timberwolves were using Zach LaVine as their point guard. It's pretty clear that's not a role he's going to be able to play long term. But, you know, Luke Walton and Brandon Ingram actually had a kind of a tiff the other day.
Ooh.
And it was because, you know, Luke Walton wanted the offense to move, and Brandon Ingram was telling him, nobody's moving. Luke Walton said, you're the point guard. It's your job to make sure that people are in the right spots, that they're running the right plays. So that's the role that they
and he's like, no, dude, I'm 6'9". I'm not the point guard.
It's interesting, though. It's very interesting watching that experiment, as ugly as it can be, from time to time. All right, we're going to move on. We'll do some buy low candidates on Friday. We're going to move on to injuries, news, and notes, and DFS talk, because I know, I can tell Heath is
chomping at the bit.
Chomping at the bit.
Is it champing at the bit? I've heard that before.
Yes, both.
I think that was the original one.
Either
it is the original
idiom
one.
Is.
I got a
acceptable.
Book that actually told me that for
yeah.
Christmas.
That was the whole book?
Champing at the book. Yep.
Just
champing at the book?
Yep.
That's awesome.
All right, let's talk about some injuries, news, and notes before we get to Wednesday DFS. LeBron James is upset with his lack of free throws. There was an ESPN story citing anonymous sources that LeBron James is unhappy with the amount of free throws he's getting. He is 10th in the league in free throw attempts per game. So make of that what you will, but...
Cry me a river, Bron.
DeMarcus Cousins apparently intends to sign a 6-year extension with the Kings this offseason. Could be worth up to $207 million. Dollars. That's a lot of money to stay in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Actually, Sacramento's probably a lovely town. That's a lot of money to stay with the Kings.
There you go.
To stay with Vivek Ranadive. So, you know, DeMarcus Cousins staying with the Kings, I guess.
Get that money.
The Heat are not actively shopping Hassan Whiteside at this point, according to reports. So there you go. But wouldn't surprise me if they do.
Yeah, I just can't see where it goes. I've been trying to make something work for the Heat.
That's
my,
the thing
trade
with,
machine
with
dealings.
Point guards and centers. No team needs a
right.
center.
They have like really.
Well, the Celtics could use a center that could rebound.
Sure, Hassan Whiteside would be a great fit on a team like Boston, a team like Portland. But there are very few teams out there. Let's say
Celtics want him. You can have him.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you want for him?
It's tough. We'll take... I definitely want Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder's untouchable. Mm. He's the best...
Yeah, but Gordon Hayward's going to go there.
Best shooter in the NBA.
They don't need him.
If we work out a three-year deal, three-team deal, where Hayward and Whiteside both come to the Celtics,
all right.
Oh, but we need to keep Marcus Smart and Jay Crowder and the Brooklyn pick.
Let's get in touch with some Jazz fans. See what they think.
Alexi Ajinsa is open to a buyout or a trade, so...
Ajinsa. You
know, speaking of, you know, people who have their eyes on something that's not going to happen, Derrick Rose wants a max contract this offseason.
Mm. Don't we all?
I do, too. Jared Sullinger shed his walking boot. He could be back by late January. There's a chance he gets into the starting lineup for the Raptors, although that's going to depend on how the Paul Millsap sweepstakes go. The Hawks are obviously apparently not looking to trade Paul Millsap now after...
Yeah, but is that like with scalping tickets where like if you're selling tickets, you're actually looking to buy them or something like that, mm-hmm. or vice versa, 100%. Or something like
the
that?
The Hawks are probably still willing to listen if you make a good offer. And Josh Richardson of the Heat is in a walking boot dealing with a sprained foot. They just can't get anybody healthy. And he hasn't been playing all that well this season, so not a big loss. Deion Waiters did get into the starting lineup for the Heat on Tuesday, and according to Heat fans on Twitter, it was an excruciating experience.
They were oddly competitive against the Warriors for a little bit.
All right, let's talk about DFS. Wednesday, Heath's favorite day ever. Zach LaVine doubtful for the Timberwolves on the second night of a back-to-back against the Rockets. Well, Timberwolves aren't on the second night of a back-to-back. The Rockets are.
Right.
Gary Harris dealing with a groin injury. Danilo Gallinari has a sprained ankle. They're both questionable for the Nuggets. Serge Ibaka missed shoot-around on Thursday. He's questionable. And Eric Gordon is sidelined. So, Heath.
Yeah.
What do you love about this schedule so much?
This is the – I've been trying to come up with a way to express how much I love this slate.
Can I tell you a secret?
What?
You're not going to like Andrew Wiggins tonight because I have him in my lineup.
No. This is the perfect night for a screw you, Chris, I'm actually awesome lineup.
Okay. Oh, okay.
A lineup full of people that Chris has – poo-pooed.
I don't think there's that many guys.
And we know professional athletes have no greater motivation than to make Chris eat his words.
Okay, you've got Marcus Smart in your lineup.
And Kyrie Irving, obviously. Yes. You don't think Kyrie Irving's one of the best point guards in the league. You think he's like the sixth best point guard.
He is.
And Kyrie Irving thinks he's much better than that.
I'm sure he does.
Jamal Crawford.
Derrick Rose also thinks he's much better than he is.
Jamal Crawford at shooting guard.
Yeah, why don't you put Derrick Rose in there?
No. We have principles.
Yeah, we got to have standards.
And
here,
I couldn't find another shooting guard, so I'm just assuming that you don't like J.J. Redick.
I love J.J. Redick.
I don't know. J.J. Redick has a podcast. So
what's that?
It's J.J. Redick has a podcast. Of course,
Chris loves
him.
Well, we need another shooting guard then. In the, I could get $2,000 worth of room, $6,500 and below.
Let's see. Who does
Which highlights something about this slate is I hate the shooting guard position tonight. It's awful.
Oh, the obvious play, if you're going for a Chris Towers doesn't think this guy is good, is Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo, okay.
Yeah, that's
so
the obvious
he will
spot.
Slide in there in Redick's spot because there's plenty of room for him. Andrew Wiggins and Jay Crowder are clearly the small forwards. Center must be Joel Embiid.
Sure.
Because you don't think he's the best center.
I think he's
in
terrible.
I couldn't find any power forwards, so I need you to help me with that. But I'm going to assume at some point last year there, you got into an argument with somebody on Cat versus Kristaps, and Kristaps is clearly more awesome than Cat, so we're going to put Kristaps in the lineup. And then I just went with Amir Johnson because he plays for the Celtics, and you don't like the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get Brad Stevens in your lineup, that would definitely fit. But no, I have nothing wrong. I have no hard feelings. Do you want to actually provide some analysis now?
The thing is, a lot of those guys we just talked about, I actually like tonight as well. Because
I
went
like some
back to put together a lineup that I thought was like actually more legit.
You actually tried?
Yes. And Marcus Smart, assuming Avery Bradley's out tonight, he's must play?
No.
What do you mean?
He's a guy that Chris doesn't think is that good.
That's what I'm saying, but why would he not be a must play?
He's
5,200 and he scored like 40 fantasy points 3 games in a row.
33 and 3 straight. He's been really good lately, but it's still Marcus Smart. I don't buy that something clicked 3 games ago, and he, like, yes, Avery Bradley's not there, but his minutes aren't actually up that much.
I think the problem is he's categorized as a point guard. If he was a shooting guard, then yeah.
Yeah, if he was a shooting guard, I would like him a lot more. But there's still a chance that Marcus Smart's just bad tonight.
Well, his usage is up, though, right?
Yes, but that's typically not a good thing for Marcus Smart.
Well, it's a good thing for fantasy points.
Sure, unless he shoots 3 for 14 tonight, which is entirely in play. Marcus Smart's one of the least efficient players in the NBA.
If Avery Bradley doesn't play.
Yes, I think Marcus Smart's
a
very good play.
His floor is basically 5 times.
Marcus Smart's a very good play tonight. Okay. Yes.
You're probably just going to play Westbrook. Because you look at the expensive players, there are 5 players that are $9,500 and above, and we could rank them. Westbrook and Cat are the only two not on a
back-to-back. Yep. James Harden on the back-to-back, traveling, was very bad last time we talked about that against Orlando, I believe, on Friday of last week. Really struggled, had 33 fantasy points. Kind of went a lot like how we were worried it would.
We don't even know for sure that LeBron's going to play. He played in Utah last night, traveling to Portland, and they were snowed in for a while. John Wall on a back-to-back on the road at Boston. Karl Anthony Towns is a fine play. I think anybody in on
Karl Anthony Towns has a really good matchup tonight. Houston, besides the fact that they play fast, you've got either a 6'8" Montrezl Harrell guarding him or Nene on the back-back. So Karl Anthony Towns is a great play. I'm actually going with James Harden over Russell Westbrook. It's kind of pick one. I like James Harden's matchup a lot more. Minnesota's defense is still really bad.
Right.
Russell Westbrook's going against Memphis.
Probably be a little better without LaVine, though.
Memphis is still the best defense in the NBA. So I just, maybe not for fantasy,
right,
but they are the number one defense in the NBA. That doesn't mean Russell Westbrook's going to struggle necessarily, but it could be a lower scoring game. And so that is the tiebreaker for me, even with Harden on the second night of a back-to-back. As for the rest of the elite guys, I think you still throw in Chris Paul in there. He's going against Orlando. They give up a bunch of points. They actually have been playing at a faster pace.
Right. Do we get worried at all with his limited availability lately and being in a late game like that, that far after lock, that all of a sudden he's just not playing?
There's definitely a chance of that. On the other hand, they've been out. They've been off 3 days.
Right.
And he played 2 games in a row, coming back from that hamstring injury. Only played 60 minutes, but he combined for 98 fantasy points.
I was going to say, he was very good in those games.
Right. You got to figure 30. He's on probably, he hasn't played more than 31 minutes for like 2 weeks.
We'll probably be around 30 minutes.
There's that weird thing with Chris Paul, though, right now, where you're just like, you're just not sure if he's actually going to play for some reason.
Yeah. He did have the lingering hamstring injury.
If we find out LeBron's out, then you're playing Kyrie, I think.
Kyrie will be a very good play against Portland. That's a great matchup. Kevin Love would be a great play. Tristan Thompson's actually not a bad play
right.
in that one. Portland is a very bad rebounding team. Anything else you want to hit on? What's your favorite matchup of the night? What's your favorite game to target?
I think it's probably Minnesota.
Houston, Minnesota?
Minnesota side too. Of that.
Okay.
If Levine's out, all those extra shots to distribute against a team that's going to play as fast as Houston is.
Who's going to start at shooting guard for them?
I don't know. Is it Shabazz?
I wouldn't think so.
They slide Wiggins to the two.
Yeah. I know Tyus Jones played more in their most recent game. Maybe. Yeah. It's.
Can we get some minutes for Brandon Rush?
Maybe Chris Dunn? I don't know. It's going to be.
I don't want to start Chris Dunn.
I was going to say, Chris Dunn and Rubio as the backcourt is.
I hope. If it's Shabazz, then I'll probably play Shabazz.
He's definitely someone who can. Who can fill it up in.
You just want to give him an extra 10 to 12 shots, he'll take them.
I definitely will. You want to do your lineups?
I already gave you the winning
lineup. Spite lineup.
My real lineup's not that much different.
Okay.
I've got Westbrook and Smart.
Sure.
I've got Crawford and Redick.
Sure.
I've got Wiggins and Crowder.
Sure.
Kristaps and Gorgie Jang.
Mm-hmm.
And Towns.
Okay.
It says a lot about what you think of Chris's opinions that. Your actual lineup is the same as your spite lineup.
Well, I just...
No, he's saying I'm an idiot.
Yeah, basically. That's what I mean.
I'm saying betting Chris's against. Opinions shape...
Fuel.
The reality. Opinion.
It's like the butterfly.
Yeah, exactly.
They shape the opinion of NBA Twitter, who plays NBA DFS, and ownership drives the pricing. So these players are underpriced because Chris doesn't like them.
He's like a mini Skip Bayless.
I'm a thought leader, yeah.
You are.
Yeah, I think that's
It's not good thoughts, I don't think, but...
They're all right, boss. Joe, you want to give your lineup?
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to do a phony lineup. Well, not a phony lineup, but I tried to make my lineup with only guys that have Y's in their name.
Okay.
And actually, it's okay other than a couple positions are awful. So we got Kyrie Irving,
yeah.
Mike Conley, Bradley Beal. Here's where it gets bad. Tony Allen was basically my
only. Tony Allen's okay.
He's a good start.
And I think against OKC, he's going to scrap it up, maybe get some steals.
You've got Russell Westbrook.
There's turnovers to be had there, yeah. Carmelo Anthony, angry with the current state of the Knicks, going to take it out on the Sixers.
Sure.
Kelly Oubre Jr. Against Boston.
He's been playing.
Whatever. 3,700.
It's a back-to-back. Maybe they sit somebody.
Yeah. Ersan Ilyasova against the Knicks.
I like it.
Ryan Anderson and Karl-Anthony Towns. All wise. I just figured I'd pick something arbitrary to
Right.
I mean, I have a very little overlap between your two lineups.
Good.
I think I have two players with Joe and two players with Heath.
Got some against Wise.
I hate Wise. I'm actually going with a Houston stack. No Eric Gordon should free up shots for the likes of Patrick Beverley, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson. So. I'm going with Patrick Beverley and Mike Conley. I love the matchup for Mike Conley. He tends to get up for big games if you want kind of a soft reason for him. I'm going with James Harden. I'm going with Evan Fournier, who is probably going to see an increase in shots with Serge Ibaka sideline. They need more shooting from him. I'm going with Andrew Wiggins, 6,300, so you might want to get Andrew
Huge
Wiggins.
Huge value, right?
He's
a $7,000 player.
I think he's a fine value at 6,300. I wouldn't say he's a huge value. Trevor Ariza at 5,800 should get extra shots. Ryan Anderson at 5,200. I'm going to go with Nerlens Noel at 4,600. I like the minutes that he's getting lately. I think he's a good high upside player, as we saw last week against Boston. He had a 35.6 fantasy point game. And I'm going to... Boston really can't rebound. Right. They are really bad. I think Jonas Valanciunas had 23 rebounds yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Marcin Gortat at 6,400. He's a safe play, but he's been in double figures in rebounding in 8 straight games, it looks like. Can get some blocks. I like Marcin Gortat tonight. That's my lineup. That's it for the show.
So much disrespect to Joel Embiid.
It's really not disrespectful. I don't think it's...
Taking Marcin Gortat for only $1,100 less.
Only $1,100. I only have $300 left.
Make some moves, man.
So I couldn't. And I like the rest of my team. Thank you very much. Andrew Wiggins
out of your lineup and you'll love him.
Andrew Wiggins is a superstar.
I kind of wish Aaron Gordon had a Y in his name now that I'm looking at it. Because he
could have a very good game. Yeah, right.
Serge Ibaka's game time decision might not play. He's been better as of late.
Yes, Aaron Gordon has been much better as of late, has had some big games.
Although 8 fantasy points in his last outing, but...
He's still very much up and down, but playing the natural position at power forward could
be a
good
I think playing the Clippers, too.
Him.
They're pretty soft without Blake Griffin, so...
All right, that's it. That's it for Wednesday's show. Heath, thanks as always.
It was great to be here. Real joy.
Thanks. Joe.
Can't wait for you guys to hang out at Bonnaroo. It's going to be so awesome.
It's going to be great.
Yes.
Bonnaroo!
Do I have to wear a shirt?
Yes. Okay. You do.